This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hey there, Dave.
And we're joined today by Rhode Island Public Radio political commentator Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Great to be here, Dave.
We'll start it off with Governor Gina Raimondo recently saying that middle-class jobs was the really only way for Rhode Island's economic salvation. I'm interested in your both reactions to that, Mark.
Well, I think she's right. I mean, if you're looking just in terms of the the state budget and you're talking about revenue, there are limits to how much you can cut your way to prosperity. And so I think the point is that even though there's been job growth here, the job growth has been in low-wage industries, so you're not generating a whole lot of revenue. So even though people are working, they're not necessarily better off, and they're not spending and investing in the state themselves. So you need to have good middle-class jobs, the kinds that, used to be here in manufacturing, but, of course, we know that has sort of shrunk.
What is a middle-class job? Is it a trades job? Is it working at a bank?
Well, it's those things. I think it's full-time work. It's not seasonal work. It can be a trade. It also can be the new white-collar job. I mean, there are a whole lot of white-collar jobs that aren't necessarily computer programmers or high-end financial analysts or investment bankers, but there are a lot of white-collar jobs that are out there, the kinds that are at the Fidelity campus out in Smithfield. So I think that those kinds of things need to happen in large measure for her plan to work.
A cynic's going to say that the new governor simply has a great grasp of the obvious. Of course, we can't tax our way out of a recession, and obviously we need middle-class jobs. I do give her credit, though, for trying to set up a model like she did with a pension overhaul. What I think she's trying to do is define the problem, have this kind of relentless PR campaign to get people on board, speaking to the business community, speaking to labor leaders, trying to go out and get people in Rhode Island, a small yet contentious state, as we know, where everybody has their own backyard director set, it seems, and has their own idea of what a great economy is. And I think that in doing this, she wants to actually focus on a few areas. The rest of this, I think we're going to see as we get to March 12th, when the rubber hits the road and she unveils her budget. Because we know one thing about politics, anybody who's ever covered it, if you want to know what a politician's priorities are, look at their budget.
Well, it's going to be interesting because when was the last time a governor's budget was actually the budget that was passed?
The funny thing about budgets are, no, the governor's budget is never approved 100%. But let's take a real hard look at what happens to budgets. There is the sausage-making machine at the State House, but they only change maybe 5, at most 7-8% of the budget. The reason is 66% of that budget is in just two places, aid to education and social services, mainly health care nowadays. Then there's about 22% of the budget that is in wages and salaries to folks who, work for the state, the 13 or 14,000 workers. Then there's what I call the janitorial functions of state government, keeping the lights on, keeping the heat on. So there's not a lot of room for major changes. However, there are always some things around the margins that are policy driven. And some of these are big deals. For instance, when Governor Carcieri was in there, he cut very deeply into aid to cities and towns. And he cut aid to education. And in the long run, there's a lot of people can argue both sides of that. But in the long run, it did hurt the cities and towns. So part of this is what you mentioned before. I'd be very interested to see where the new governor decides to make the investments.
She was discussing a potential $200 million budget deficit for the upcoming fiscal year, perhaps $500 million down the road. Is she setting us up for a little budget-tough love coming up?
Well, of course. I think every new governor does that to a certain degree. I remember when everybody said we had this structural deficit back in the 1990s. Link Almond was lucky enough to be governor, and there was no deficit. There were huge surpluses, and they used them for various things. One, invested a lot in education, particularly higher education. They also did some things like cut taxes. Both the car tax was cut and the income tax rates were cut across the board by about 10%. So you see this, I think the issue nobody really wants to talk about right now is the gambling revenue that we get from the casinos at Twin River and the quasi thing we have in Newport. And I'm looking at what Massachusetts is doing, and I think the state, while income tax and sales tax revenues right now are pretty healthy, they're running ahead of the estimates by as much as $50, $55 million. The problem, I think, is going to be down the road, what happens with the gambling money? And I think that's a real concern to a state that's allowed itself to become addicted to this revenue stream. It's now our third largest source of income.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're talking with Mark Murphy and Scott McKay. Getting to the new State Commerce Corporation, the new director, Stephen Pryor, and now they're bringing in two top executives from New Jersey. What signal does that mean?
Well, Dave, the signal I see is that these are people that the administration knows. I mean, you know, I think that in Rhode Island, it's an insular state, and the people you know are the people you hire. Well, Governor Raimondo has brought in sort of the national political operative to be the chief of staff, but Stephen Pryor did a lot of work in New Jersey with Cory Booker when he was mayor of Newark. And so it's not a coincidence that the new number two at the Department of Transportation was one of the key executives at New Jersey Transit, and now these other folks from New Jersey.
Scott, does this mean that there are going to be a wider universe of ideas for economic development?
Well, hopefully there will be. But again, even if you have a wider universe, alluding to what Mark talked about, you've got to find a way to pay for these great ideas.
And she's been telegraphing that to a certain degree. The one thing she's talked about over and over again is Medicaid spending. I mean, she is letting people know, and she's trying to say, we have to change this. And I think that it's not just balancing the budget. She's also, as a venture capitalist, her mindset as an investor is, you have to make continuous, have to make it continuous investments. So she's saying, we've got to get over the 38 studios, mindset, which means that we can't invest in anything anymore. And we've got to pick good investments, and we've got to find ways to pay for it. And I think that you're going to see Medicaid be one of the supplies of that.
Medicaid's interesting because it's a very difficult question to tackle, particularly given the demographics of Rhode Island. Most of this is spending on older people, particularly people who've been confined in nursing homes. Now, everybody's talked for years about how we have to have better home care and have more people stay in their houses as they get older. But the problem is, at this point, we have the number one population in the country per proportion of senior citizens aged 85 or over, the so-called fragile old. And that becomes very difficult, I think, to keep those folks at home and to build up the infrastructure that you need and spend money on to have these home care people visiting nurses and so forth. Also, the nursing home industry politically is very powerful. They lobby ferociously, they contribute, they work hard, and every rep has a nursing home in his or her district or next door. And many of the reps and senators have family members who are in these nursing homes. So it's not going to be easy to cut back on what we're doing there.
Okay, we'll have to leave the discussion right there. And thanks to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Thank you, Dave.
And to Rhode Island Public Radio's Scott McKay.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.